I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we will give you another chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. We've got the guys from the Monday Morning Linebacker Room brought to you by The Other Place. I don't know how long they're going to be here, but I got a lot of things to talk to them about. We still got to talk about Gronk. We still got to talk about Eric Berry. There's a lot to get into. So yesterday, Twitter was very upset at me because I actually liked the overtime rules. I don't think that the rule of overtime should be, after we give you 60 minutes, let's try to create another fair way for both of you to get a chance to win. I don't disagree that you have an advantage by winning the coin toss. Yes, you get the opportunity to score first and end the game. My stance on overtime has always been very simple. Don't allow a touchdown. That's all it is. Don't allow a touchdown. The Chiefs give up a touchdown. I'm sorry, you lose. Now, it stinks that Mahomes didn't get an opportunity, but the opportunity not given to Mahomes was not affected by the coin toss. It was affected by three straight times his defense had a third and long and they couldn't get off the field. So I feel like we keep saying this, well, they lost because of the coin toss. I don't know about you guys, but they kept playing football after the coin toss. Like, it wasn't over because the Patriots won a coin toss. They kept playing football after the coin toss. Just the Patriots were a lot better at playing it after the coin toss than Kansas City was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it showed tremendously. I mean, yeah, people can blame the coin toss. I think all of us in this studio right here know that that's not the case. Yeah, the defense have to make a play when it counts. And overtime, you know, if you don't stop this offense and they score a touchdown, the game is over. So now I got to step my game up. And I know that, you know, everything happened throughout the first four quarters, that's over and done with. It's a new game. I got to step my game up because now it counts. If they score, we lose. So I think at the end of the day, they made more plays than we did. And, you know, don't try to go and blame a ref or a rule, you know, on why, you know, Chiefs lost. The Chiefs lost because they wasn't able to make enough big plays compared to what the Patriots were able to make.
Here's what I think they ought to at least look at, okay? Because I don't think the Chiefs got screwed because of the overtime rule. That's not what I'm saying. But I think the reason, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, the reason the rules are the way they are for overtime is because, man, you guys play enough football. You're playing 16 games. You got preseason. Nobody's getting younger in the NFL. This isn't college. You know, I mean, everybody's getting older, so you want to take as much wear and tear off your body as humanly possible. So the way it used to be, win the coin toss, get the football. If you score, it's over.
Right.
Right? And I like the way they changed it and said, hey, you got to score a touchdown if you're going to win this thing and close the thing out. But here's the problem that I have with it, is that the NFL loves its quarterbacks and does everything to take care of its quarterbacks, right? They love their stars. They love the Tom Brady's. They're loving Patrick Mahomes right now. You had how many million people watch this game, C-Dot?
53.9 million people.
53.9 million people watch this football game, and you're in the face of your league going forward, more than likely, is the guy that we have as quarterback in Kansas City, and he was wearing a freaking poncho, you know, while this was going on. So that's the problem that I have with it. In baseball, everybody gets a shot. You know, it's typically the way it works. So I've got no problem if you want to keep the overtime rules the way they are now in the regular season to keep wear and tear off of it. But if you got a chance to go to the Super Bowl, I don't think a coin toss should have that much influence on who wins the football game. Now, I'm with you guys. I understand it. You know the rules. You got to go out there and make a play. I think the rules ought to change for postseason and not the regular season because, again, you've got Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all this.
To what in your mind?
Huh?
To what in your mind?
To whatever.
Like changing the rules.
They both get the opportunity.
Chiefs get the ball back, and if they don't go down and score a touchdown, it's over.
So, like kicking it off to them and just have a whole other possession?
But yeah, absolutely. But that's exactly the way it should be.
This isn't college.
And college doesn't do it that way either. Okay, college doesn't start at the 25. They start at the 25 and you go.
Which is silly, too. I personally hate the college overtime, but I feel like I'm in the minority.
I think it's entertaining. It's fun to watch, but I'm with you.
I mean, at what point do we just let football be football? We let whatever rules that they've made and already has set, that's how we're going to play the game. See, what's happening over the past couple of years with the NFL, they wanted to meet in the offseason and change the rules. It's kind of giving people that, well, if they're going to change this rule, they need to change this rule. Or if they're going to change that rule, they need to make sure that each if you got a superstar on your team, you both superstars get the no. That's not how it works. Football is football. It's chess at the end of the day. It's decisions that need to be made from the coaches and from the players. So everybody got to take responsibility for it. You can't blame a rule.
I'm not blaming the rule. I'm just saying I understand why the rule is the way it is.
Yeah,
I'm just saying in this magnitude of a game, let's go win it outright. Make it a 10-minute period. Make it a 8-minute period. Give each team a possession.
So if this was Alex Smith, would you be still calling for this same rule?
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If this was Brady Quinn, would you still be asking
for it? Yeah, because it's a quarterback-driven league. They want your stars out there.
I wouldn't. You want to know why? Because the way the football is football. You get one opportunity. If you're not able to make a stop and you're able to let that team score, you lose. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. It's a man against a man. And whoever loses the game, they lose.
I think the rules set up for regular season to get the game over. Nah. In the postseason, it shouldn't be that way.
Nah, I mean, you know, you got to keep the rules, man. I mean, I'm all for keeping the tradition in the way that the NFL was set. I'm all for keeping that. I'm not for changing rules to try to make sure that guys get equal opportunity, because that's not the case.
And to me, the equal opportunity is you had equal opportunity for 60 minutes. Like, for the entirety of the game, it's the equal opportunity. In the overtime, the rule is just, it's so straightforward. You get an opportunity to get the ball back. All you got to do is not give up a safety and not let them score a touchdown. That's it. If you do those two things, the game are over. That seems fair to me.
Yeah. At that point, the game is in the player's hands. I would love for the game to be in my hands. There's no pressure. This is what I'm built to do. This is the stage that I want to be on. Everybody wants to be on the big stage. Everybody wants to play on Monday night. Everybody wants to play on Thursday night. Everybody wants to play where they have it. Everybody watch them. Now you got the opportunity. Make the most of it. And it's all about the players making the plays, not anything else. That's why I hate when people try to, you know, blame a loss on anything other than the players playing and the coaches coaching. At the end of the day, it's that team going up against another team, and whoever makes the most plays, whoever has the best playbook, whoever go out there and succeed and win each and every play, that's who wins the game. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, me and Joe are kind of obsessed with the execution being a fact. You being able to align, know your alignment, know your assignment, and execute your play, that's something that basically I think kept both of us in the league for a long time. And that was the one thing we kind of set us apart from other guys. That, you know, some guys made it, some guys didn't. We took guys' jobs. We hung around when other guys couldn't, because we took it really serious. We took knowing where to line up, knowing your assignment, your adjustments, the way to communicate, all those things, we took it to be like gospel. And at the end of the day, if another guy was trying to take my spot, if he didn't know it as well as I did, then, you know, usually he was the guy who had to find another job and not me.
Yep.
And so, the changing of the rules and all that kind of stuff, no, I'm not with changing anything, like you're saying. As long as things are consistent, if we got to play with the same ball on the same field, all those things are kept consistent, I don't care what the rules are. As long as we both know the rules at the beginning of the game and we both abide by them, and as a ref, you flag us the same as you flag them, That's the part of the game that I feel like it frustrates me, is when, you know, we pity pat slap Brady and we get a 15-yard penalty, and they rush and sickle Mahomes and they tell him to get up, like, just go on to the next play. That kind of stuff is, I mean, you just after you know, as you watch the game in all totality, you just realize like our quarterback was treated a little bit subpar when it comes to if you're talking about this league protecting their quarterbacks. One quarterback out there was protected, the other one wasn't.
It is the Monday Morning Linebacker. It is brought to you by The Other Place. NFL Network just had a report on the Chiefs possibly making defensive changes. We'll play it for you guys coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, it is a Monday Morning Linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. This next piece of audio was Mike Garofalo with NFL Network. The Chiefs could be making some changes to their defensive coordinating staff. Here's the report from NFL Network.
Well, no changes just yet, but I have had conversations with multiple sources here, and I am told that the Chiefs are having internal discussions here about do they need to make potential changes on the defensive coaching staff up to and including Bob Sutton. That's what's been happening in the building today. And a lot of people saw that broadcast yesterday with Tony Romo calling out what the Patriots were going to do before they did it. That was a bad look in a lot of ways here. And these are the things that the Chiefs are discussing today. You know, are we not making the proper adjustments? Are we not seeing things? All those things. So again, I stress, no decisions have been made. Andy Reid, I believe, told the media today that he is evaluating everything. And yes, that's certainly true. But pointedly, I've been told to watch what's happening on the defensive side of the ball with the coaching staff for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So that was Mike Garofolo of NFL Network. I think you guys know where Fanning and I both stand on this one. I think it's over for Bob Sutton. I think it should be time. He has been defensive coordinator for the Chiefs longer than any defensive coordinator in the NFL, not named Bill Belichick, who was essentially their defensive coordinator. And Brian Flores, he just got the job for the Miami Dolphins. I would move on from Bob Sutton, and I would start over. The two former pros, they disagree. They would keep Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator for your Kansas City Chiefs.
That's why I don't like Romo. He getting people fired, running his yap, running his mouth all during the play, all during the broadcast. It's easy, man. Me and Joe could watch a game with y'all right now, live game, and call 75% of the stuff based off alignment, personnel, watch him shift, right? When you see Edelman come down the stack, well, he's going to do an option route. That's not – like the things he's saying is not it's not new.
How come more analysts don't do it then?
Because more analysts are not knowledgeable about that stuff.
Okay. I'm just asking, the color commentator guys, you don't hear that. Romo's one of the few guys that you hear – call out a play before it actually happens.
Well, I think all the ex-quarterbacks could probably do it because they've been – all the systems are similar. It's all a copycat-type league and everything. Like I said, me and Joe, we watch enough offense to know that, you know, second and 10 is probably a screen draw. You know, the running back, he goes block opposite the tight end. You know, tight end release, he go block opposite. That ain't common. That's the setup of, you know, slip screen. Like, we could call a lot of the fake rocket slip screen away. Like all that stuff is complimentary that we've seen multiple times. The benefit that he has that the coordinator don't, the coordinator has to make a defensive call just with one thing. 21 personnel is in the game. You got to make a call. I don't hear Troy Aikman calling out plays before the offense line up.
Yeah, and every analyst can be a defensive coordinator at the end of the day. I'm guessing.
I don't like Romo.
God. You don't like any Cowboys.
We got that from today that you don't that you don't like Romo.
Now he calls some people jobs and that kind of stuff, man.
I mean, to be fair, I mean it's not like Bob Sutton hasn't had 6 years as defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it wasn't Romo that got him fired. If anything, it was Julian Edelman that got him fired. Rob Gronkowski is the one that got Bob Sutton fired, not Tony Romo. He had nothing to do with him getting fired. No, if he gets fired, he ain't been fired yet. But
I got to go back and look up the stats about, you know, if we're gonna talk about where the defense ranked, I gotta look at those stats year to year. I mean,
they've been gradually getting worse for the last 3 years.
I gotta look at it. That's why I say I can't claim anything if I don't know. For some reason, I thought, you know, the first 4 or 5 years that they were top three or top four in certain categories that they were.
I think wasn't the year that they were they sixth overall the year they lost to the Steelers or
something
was it
like that,
then?
Man. Like
that was a good defense the year they lost to the Steelers in the playoffs and then gave up a touchdown.
That feels like it was a long time ago defensively for this team. A long time ago. What did you guys make of Eric Berry yesterday? Because I thought Berry looked kind of washed.
What makes you say he looked washed?
I saw him unable to cover Rob Gronkowski, who I know is washed.
Wow.
See, what considers Rob Gronkowski washed?
I've watched a lot of Gronk this year, and he's not as fast as he used to be. I don't think he gets separation the way that he used to be. And I saw this team, this organization, Sutton, you guys' guy, say, hey, man-to-man, one-on-one on the outside, you cover Rob Gronkowski, and Berry didn't appear able to do it. I thought he looked a step slow the entire game.
I bet on my guy any day of the week. So I would bet on EB against Gronk any day of the week.
Well,
look, man.
So did Julian, so did Josh McDaniels, and yeah, Gronk was winning that battle more times than not.
The thing is, with Gronk, since he's such a big body, you just throw the ball up and he make a play. Now, I mean, look, we can all sit back and say, yeah, EB, he didn't look like the EB of old. Yeah, he looked kind of rusty. Yeah, this, yeah, that. But he was out there. He was playing. And he had pretty tight coverage. It's just that Gronk made a good play.
He looked like EB the old, not EB of the old. Wow. That's what he looked like. He looked like EB the old.
He got owned pretty good on that rushing touchdown where Devlin went and just pancaked him. Like you could tell that he's not the same. I'm not going as far as what CDOT's saying and saying that the guy's washed. But he didn't look like the same explosive big-time playmaker that I think we've seen Eric Berry to be.
If not Eric Berry, CDOT, who did you want to go line up on Gronk?
Yeah, you know what?
I would probably say Jordan Lucas.
Jordan Lucas. Would you play man? What would you have done as a defensive coordinator in that position?
I probably would have put Jordan Lucas on him, and I don't think I would have been as much one-on-one on the outside as they were.
So what coverage are you playing? Because it sounds like man, but you sound like you don't want to play man. See, these are the issues that Bob Sutton have to deal with week in, week out when it comes to playing different players. So you can't sit here and say that this man deserves to lose his job because he's not playing the way that most people would consider the right way or the right coverage against these guys. That's why it's kind of tough to say that a coach should lose their job. Because the coach, like I said before, when it comes to Bob Sutton, he allowed the players to play. He put EB in a position to guard their best man, and when it was crunch time, he put his money on EB, as everybody else would in Chiefs Kingdom. EB just didn't make a play. That doesn't mean that he's washed. It just means that Gronk and Brady made the plays when it was crunch time, and they won the game.
And real quick, Sean, I looked this up for you, okay? In 2015, and points scored is the category that you pay attention to the most, right?
Yep.
When it comes, okay.
Points scored.
In 2015, the Chiefs were third in points scored on defense. In 2016, they were seventh. Last year, 15th. This year, 24th.
All right. And so, Sean. And which of those years did they go the farthest? What was their most successful year?
That'd have been this year.
Because their offense got better in those years probably too. Their offense kept getting better. That has to factor into it. We can't just only say, well, they keep getting – well, yes, the defense kept getting worse. Their offense also kept improving.
As all I'm saying and all I continue to say is that when you build a team together, you win, you lose, you draw, you get better together. The team – the offense didn't go to the AFC Championship and the defense didn't. They have grown as a unit, grown as a team. As many similar faces as you can keep in the organization – to continue to grow off of what was learned today, then you do that. Now, there are some contracts that are going to expire. There's going to be some free agents to get better offers elsewhere. Whether the franchise, all these other things they're going to have to handle in the offseason, that's going to create enough differentiating between last year's team and next year's team. The last thing I would want to do personally is have more different voices in the rooms from the players to learn from. Every coach has his own coaching style. Every coach, the player's got to take – position coach, you got to get used to him. You got to know what's this guy's likes and dislikes. Is he going to coach me hard? Is he going to let me get away with stuff? Is he going to be, a stickler about detail about my alignment, assignment? All that stuff, there is a growing curve to all those things. I just want to make sure that when you start changing defensive coordinators and position players, that you also are going to allow this team to dip down – as a team, not just the defense, you're going to let the team dip down and possibly not be as, be as good overall next year. I think if you keep everybody here, the majority of people here, you can say that we are all going to get a little bit better at what we do because everything is being kept as consistent as possible.
And I'll give you this, and Peter King wrote today, and he talked about the consistency of the coaching staff that the Patriots have. I mean, Josh McDaniel's been there for 15 of the 19 years that Belichick's there. Belichick, obviously the guy mastermind in the defense, has been there. They're talking about the O-line coach. It's been there like 19 years. And it was one of the reasons that they were able to, they added eight plays to their play sheet yesterday morning before the game. And that completion of Gronk late was something that they hadn't even talked about, but they'd run it earlier in the season. And they were able to call it. So I get you on that. But, Sean, like, I'm looking at the 6 years with Andy Reid and Bob Sutton here. And I even went back to 2013. So they're fifth in points, second in points, third, seventh, 15th, 24th. What I'm saying is it feels like it's going the wrong direction. And I'm not saying Bob Sutton needs to be fired or doesn't need to be fired, but it kind of sounds like change needs to be made.
But you got to own it. As long as everybody here owns their change,
yeah.
When they make the change, if they don't end up in the AFC Championship game,
yeah.
Will you say you wrong?
But a lot of other things can happen, though.
What's all these buts, though?
Okay, but I'm saying, you're asking that, though. What if next year in your scenario, Tyreek Hill breaks his leg week three? That could be a reason why you don't go to the AFC Championship game. We agree, like, other scenarios can happen that can be the reason why they don't go to the AFC Championship game.
We can all agree that the defense needs to get better. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. It's how you get it better.
And then my question, I guess my statement is not even a question. I don't think Bob Sutton is the person that can make their defense better. I've seen 6 years of his possible trying to improvement. It was then Marcus Peters' attitude what was the problem with the defense. Then all this stuff. I don't think he's the one to do it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't specifically know who the person is to do it, but I know this much. He's had more than enough time to get this defense to an adequate level. Their defense is not adequate. I'm sorry. It's not close to adequate.
If you will go play by play with me and you tell me when you see a zone where you think they should have been in man, when you see them playing backed off, when you think they should have been pressed. Like to me, those are things that you can say, hey, you know what? After re-looking this game over with, there's been some systematic things, some play calling things that probably could have been done better. And you're making the calls before you see the play, not hindsight, not seeing the result on the play. And because it was a positive play, oh, no, that was a great call. And then when they scored a touchdown, well, I would have went man there instead of that. Yeah, obviously anybody, hindsight 20/20. All I'm saying is that when you ask for change and you get what you want, you got to own what you get. You got to own it. If you ain't going to own it, then don't ask for it.
No, I mean, I'll definitely own it when it comes to the defense. I'm just saying your scenario, there's other reasons that can be why they don't go to the AFC Championship game aside from them firing Bob Sutton. Because I know one thing. This defense or this team could have got to the AFC Championship game without Bob Sutton because they had the NFL MVP at quarterback and they're the third highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL. They didn't do any of that without Bob Sutton in my mind. Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And I want to ask you guys how the Patriots slowed down Tyreek Hill, which was so difficult for teams all year. Sean's mad at me. Joe, he seems perturbed at me, but we're still having fun. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Here's your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Joe, I can spell this one. Tag, T-A-G, to 72881. That's tag. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays listening to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Tag, T-A-G. Text the word tag, T-A-G, to 72881.
I would love for the person to win that to call in. If it was a way to have somebody call in.
Somebody won. Last week? Two Thursdays ago, somebody won.
A Fesco show or something?
All I know is it's not me. I'm constantly playing in these contests, and I'm never winning. So I want to meet the winners.
Are you putting in capital letters? You got to put in all capitals.
Hey, I put it through, and it comes through as if I sent it the right way. See? Yeah, I just, yeah.
The small detail. You got to put it in capitals. It doesn't even.
Sean says that like he's won three times.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's unlocked the code of winning a national cash contest.
35 points a game.
Point me in the direction of the people that won, and I'll get the information from them if they give it to me.
Not so hot.
We had a show. We had somebody right won on our show, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we did. I want to ask you guys, what did Belichick and the Patriots do so effectively to eliminate and remove Tyreek Hill from the game? I mean, one catch, he had the big long catch in this one. In the past two matchups, Tyreek Hill had been a matchup problem for the New England Patriots. Destroyed them the both times. In this one, I don't want to say he's a non-factor, but they at least limited his touches and targets in this game. What did the Patriots do in this as opposed to the previous matchups to eliminate Tyreek Hill?
Well, I think they went in this game wanting to eliminate what they felt like was the Chiefs' two dynamic playmakers, and that's Kelce and Hill. Because Kelce only had, what, one? He had one catch, too, right?
Not three, I think.
Three catches. So they wanted to make sure that these guys are not getting deep. So they were definitely going to double-team Hill. That's what it allowed Watkins to make more plays and have more success out there on the field. So I think that they didn't want to give up any deep bombs. They wanted to keep all these guys in front of them so that they can come down and make a play. It's just that simple. And with Belichick, it's not about defending the entire team. It's about taking away your key assets in order to make you go to other guys. And
they're great at that, man.
He had, what, 4 touchdowns, 275 yards receiving in the 2 games that he's faced him. And he was, what, 1 catch for 42 yards.
Yeah.
It looked like to me that they were guarding, they were trying to guard him on the inside. Like the safety was making sure he didn't get that seam route, mm-hmm. or post route.
Yep.
And then when he went outside is when he made the catch. I was curious why the Chiefs didn't do that more.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, it's everything. Hindsight is 20/20.
I mean, you guys
man.
Know I mean, your X's knows better than I do.
I got an idea, Brad.
What's that?
Blame Bob Sutton.
Oh my goodness.
That seemed to be the.
I'm only blaming him for the stuff on defense. Okay. I ain't blaming him for that.
I ain't
blaming him for that.
That's what Daniel Jeremiah from wherever said. You know, he got inside information that changes are being made.
At what point does an owner step in and tell a head coach, "Hey, we need to make a change on the staff"? Does that, you guys ever been around that before or not? Does that happen?
I'm pretty sure it does happen. Yeah, of course. I'm pretty sure an owner does step in and say, "Look, if I'm not liking the defense, I'm not liking what's going on, I'm not liking the scheme, I'm not liking the players, so we need to make a change." Whether you bring in a lot of, you know, a lot of guys that can contribute on defense, or whether you make a coaching scheme change, something needs to change. And I've seen owners and heard of owners being able to do that.
Because I think part of the problem is because last offseason we were told that it wasn't the coaching, it was the personnel. The Chiefs drafted all defense. They went and they got Xavier Williams. They got Anthony Hitchens, right? They went and got Amerson, cut him. They made some moves on defense, and you got essentially a worse result on defense. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you guys. I think Bob Sutton's a good football coach. You look over the course of his career, he's been a really, really good football coach.
Wow.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, the guy was a head coach. No,
you've enlightened. When you said you think Bob Sutton is a great coach, I just, like, I couldn't believe I heard that out your mouth.
But I also know really, really talented people that are great at their job that, for whatever reason, it gets stale and it gets old and it's time for a change.
Oh.
Like, that happens too. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, if the message that Bob is teaching the guys and the techniques and things aren't being held accountable and his message and his scheme isn't being upheld, and yeah, well, you know, and I think at a point that happens in every coach's, you know, that doesn't mean you're not a good coach.
Sure.
Andy's been one of the most consistent coaches with his message, and eventually even at Philadelphia, that last year he was there, it just felt like the players were not buying in.
Andy Reid's a great coach. I think he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he went, what, 4-12 in his last year at Philly. Doesn't make him a bad coach, but it wasn't working.
No, yeah, he just it's, like you said, when the message falls on deaf ears and you make changes. And I think, like you said, there, every year, I think the staff, as far as I know, the Chiefs have never had the same staff on offense or defense in any going from one season. There's always changes being made. People getting promotions, people going to other jobs, people getting relieved, whatever the reason is. That happens in coaching, that happens in scouting, that happens in all levels of the organization, and also players. So, I mean, the 2019 team is going to be completely different than the 2018. I'm just saying that I don't think a global change in the defensive philosophy, the communication, what you call stuff. I just don't think that is the quick answer if you're trying to see immediate success in that 2019 season. If you think this window for taking advantage of Pat Mahomes on his rookie deal while we are still able to pay him under the $200 million that eventually he's going to get, I think that the way to do that is to make fine-tuned adjustments. You review the film, you figure out, hey, if we got a third down problem and we can't stay close enough to receivers, then we need to go find some corners that have that do an outstanding job at mirroring. I can put them one-on-one in the slots and they can mirror like no other. They might be bad tacklers. They might be awful people in the streets. But the one thing you know that when you line them up, they can prevent the ball from being completed on a slot receiver. If that's the problem, then you go find those guys.
Let me ask you this. Let's say that Clark Hunt comes to you and says, "Hey, Sean,
what's up?
We really love your work on the Monday morning linebacker. You really schooled those two Jamokes."
Jamokes.
We want to bring
you
in.
Yeah, that sound like could happen. That's a possibility.
We want to bring you in to consult this defense. We obviously got some problems. We don't want to make wholesale changes because of what you alluded to. We feel like we got a good thing here. We don't want to shake the boat too much.
Spotlight.
What would you advise them to do defensively if it's not change coordinators and Bob Sutton?
There's a Senior Bowl going on down in, I think, Mobile, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be some very talented cover corners down there. There's going to be some talented young men who are graduating. Unfortunately, the Chiefs, I think, in the first round, we got the third or fourth pick, so we're going to be drafting pretty low for
29th is where they're picking.
29th, that's still
the first round.
Yeah, so if you want to get one of the top cover corners, some of the guys that you know, has shown on film today, can come in and play immediately, you're probably going to have to trade up for him. You're going to probably have to trade up and go get a guy that you want like that. On the free agent market, you know, we tried to bring Breland in, right? Like, I mean, when it was time for him, what's mm-hmm. the guy, yeah. right? The cornerback.
Yeah, Bashaud Breland.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we made every attempt to go upgrade at a position that we felt like we needed to. But it's a two-way street. Just because you offer a guy a contract, if he don't want to be here, he don't want to be here. And at the end of the day, you really don't want nobody to be here that don't want to be here. You don't want to the round peg in the square hole. In football, that gets it gets ugly real fast. And when you're trying to get guys to stay around and work extra and work on communication, if they don't like each other, that's how what Joe talked about. When the guy motioned in and he says lock, and the guy who's motioning in know that that's the wrong call, but he got to play it because you said it. He probably looking at you like, man, you just set me up for failure, and you know it. You know I got one of the hardest covers to make right here. And instead of going in and out where you possibly got to pick him up, you're going to lock yourself on Hogan or lock yourself on Phillips and going to make me try to go in, you know, lock this guy who's been a jitterbug. Like, come on, man. But that's what you're setting yourself up for when you try to relearn entire system. When you talk about the communication, the adjustments, the assignments, you got, like I said, you're going to own that. So when the communication problems come to be a problem,
they have communication problems right now on this defense. I mean, I remember seeing Eric Berry come off the sideline and him screaming at other players on the defense because they're out of position. Late in the season, this wasn't like a week one, week two thing. That was happening late in the season. The guys were out of position. So we're saying this communication, the guys not under the system and the scheme, that's happening already with this defense.
So you got to make your mind up. Do you think that will get better or worse with another season?
I mean, it can't get worse than the end of the Charger game. Can we agree on that?
I think I saw the Chargers do the same thing to the Baltimore Ravens with the same exact result.
I'm talking about
the Baltimore Ravens defense suck? No, they stink?
Listen, man, I'm talking about the 2-point conversion at the end of the game.
I'm talking about the 2-point conversion at the end of the Ravens game. They did the exact same play, and the exact same player ended up open for a 2-point conversion to win that game.
Was he covered at all or no?
No, uncovered. Okay. Miscommunication by this vaulted Ravens defense.
If the Chiefs had the Ravens defense, but they'd be undefeated this year.
Come on.
They would.
Why would you say such silly things?
I think they'd be undefeated this year.
Come on, man. That ain't how football is even. Come on, man.
I think if you swapped out this defense.
You always want to swap something
they'd
out.
They'd be undefeated if they had the Ravens defense.
You ain't got an unlimited payroll, so you can't.
I'm just saying in this hypothetical. That's all I'm saying. In this hypothetical, they would be undefeated if they had the Ravens defense.
Joe, how many plays have you made on the hypothetical?
Hypothetically, I made every single pay.
I went to the Pro Bowl 10 out of 10
seasons. Man, yeah.
Never got injured.
Yeah.
Well,
got two hands full of rings.
I work at Sports Talk Radio, so I love hypotheticals. That's all I can do is hypotheticals. I can tell you is what I think would happen. That's all I know. I don't know anything else.
All pro rings I got here, hypothetically? Nice,
yeah.
It's shining, baby.
Yeah, not really. I don't really see it.
I don't see him either.
Yeah.
That Ravens defense. Yeah.
Hypothetically, if they improved their defense next year, I think they could be in the exact same situation. We will put a bow on this thing with our guys from the Monday morning linebacker.
Make it a hypothetical
Joe Mays
bow.
And Sean Barber. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It is our final segment with the guys from the Monday morning linebacker, brought to you by The Other Place. I can't believe this whole time we've been talking, we haven't asked you guys about the end of the Rams and Saints game with maybe the, I don't know if it's greatest or worst no call in the history of the NFL.
The greatest no call.
But the fact of they didn't even announce it. They went to like old school blitz rules from like, you know, that old game, NFL blitz.
Yep.
I can't believe they did that in the middle of the game and they didn't tell everybody. We shouldn't even really debate it. It's the most obvious pass interference that went uncalled I've ever seen. It,
definitely for the whole 2018 season. Like that was the one time in the entire season where any high school ref, any armchair quarterback, mom cooking, dad not even paying attention, could have just glanced up and be like, oh, that's a PI. I don't even see the whole play. I just saw a glimpse of it. And, oh, that's definitely a PI right there. And for that to be called.
It wasn't even like a bang, bang play.
No.
Yeah, Roby Coleman even said himself, like, yeah, that was passing.
Yeah,
fans.
I tackled him.
Yeah, I was beat.
Like, yeah, I did it.
I was beat. Yeah, I was beat and I tackled him. I mean, that was pass interference. And, I mean, yeah, you never hear of a guy like Roby Coleman getting a no call like that. You hear of, like, a superstar.
Like a Champ Bailey or
like
somebody.
A Champ Bailey getting a call like that. Roby Coleman? No.
Who?
Roby Coleman.
Okay. I'm all for letting the players decide at the end of the game and, you know, swallowing your whistle. Like, that wasn't like some hand fighting no call. He tackled the receiver before the ball got there. Like, that's got to be pass interference in that scenario.
I think that I like when referees choose to hold the whistle when they know that the action of that penalty did not affect the outcome of the play. So
like a hold on the other side of the field.
Yeah, like a receiver and a DB get to scrapping or something. They holding each other away from where the ball actually went. The referee just goes over there, breaks it up. Hey guys, like, you know, quit all that kind of stuff. Instead of throwing your flag out there and say, that's defensive holding. Even though the offensive man like run up all in your chest and you trying to like, you know, defend to get off of his block. A lot of times on defense, I mean, we just automatically, if it's a 50-50 call, we saw Sorensen, right? When that tight end kind of tripped and fell.
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, Antonio Gates. Like, clearly not close enough to cause a penalty, but when the referee looks over there, he sees Gates falling. Ew, it must have been Sorensen. Throws the flag.
Can we agree, though, that the Chiefs got away with a few last night, too? I mean, it looks like instead of Chris Conley running a pick, it looked like a crackback block on that one. I mean, come on. I mean, the Chiefs got away with – I mean, there's a reason Bill Belichick chucked his freaking laptop or his pad or whatever the hell he's using for Microsoft over there. Like, the Chiefs got their fair share of breaks in that game, too.
Getting away with a few is – like, all I say is just be consistent.
Yeah.
Let us know what's not going to be called, what is going to be called. But once you make a call one way, then you have to call like that throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you are going to be very hands-on and like protective of the quarterbacks, protect both quarterbacks. If you're going to be nitpicky about offsides, make sure that anybody within the length of the football gets called offsides. Or at least have the common courtesy to warn the guys, hey, we're going to be a little bit make sure you stay a half yard behind the ball, blah, 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 blah. And offensive tackles. Make sure your head breaks the plane of the center. We're going to make sure that all formations are legal because we're playing the Patriots, who are infamous for creating illegal formations at opportune times of the game to create mischief.
And for the record, too,
I'm actually curious who you hate more, the Patriots or the Cowboys, because I feel like it's a 1A, 1B situation.
One team was just like, when I was playing for the Redskins, the Cowboys were so good. That offensive line, they would whip me so bad, man. I would get so frustrated because Nate Tuinay and Larry Allen.
Flozell.
All them guys, man, they just continually, like, punch me. And I was all bumped and bruised. And I was like, man, I hate those guys. Like, I hated the offensive line there. And they had some really good, like, Aikman and the playmaker.
And the Patriots just cheat.
And the Patriots.
That's what it is.
So how'd they cheat yesterday, then?
Yeah. Just one time, like.
Yeah, I mean how do the Patriots cheat?
I speak on a global term.
Oh,
the organization.
Oh, got it.
The Dark Empire was built off of filming your plays during your walkthroughs.
Yeah.
So they would get a competitive advantage for the first 15 plays. Obviously, they know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then a deflation of the ball, not because what everybody thinks, so Tom Brady can throw a better spiral, but to limit the amount of turnovers their offensive get. When you're a ball carrier and you're carrying a deflated ball, it's impossible, almost relatively impossible for Joe Mays to punch the ball out just off of a little deflation because now you can sink your hands into that ball. They had wide receivers come, Amendola, who couldn't hold on. He couldn't hold on the ball to save his life in Miami. He gets to New England and don't fumble in four seasons.
Patriots way, man.
The Patriots way.
They coached him up.
Yes, our balls, our footballs are a little deflated, so you should be able to hold up to this.
They coached him up.
They turned the ball over based off fumbles like once every 99 plays. The number two in the league that same year was like once every 40 plays. Number three was 40. The rest of the league was like 40 to 45 or 40 to 35.
Maybe they're just teaching ball security over there.
Correct, yeah. You're
coaching it up.
Yeah, you're coaching it up.
Yeah.
As two people that played in the NFL, this actually just popped in my head.
Deflate the ball.
I understand that he's not the most athletic player of all time. Have we got to the point where Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time? I just don't really know how many other people I'm putting in the category with Brady. I mean, he's been the quarterback for 18 seasons. 9 of them, they've gone to the Super Bowl. 16 times they've been in the AFC Championship game. Like, if we're talking accomplishments and things you've done on the field, Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time.
I would say that.
Yeah, I think I've seen him play a lot better. Like the game he won here, I think I've seen him play a lot better than that. So it's hard for me to like look at that game and say, "Oh man, he's the GOAT now," because I didn't really think he played up to his own level. Like the 77 quarterback ranking coming out of this game, I think it was subpar as far as where he has been before.
That's fair.
The throws he's made before.
I just look at the plays that he made when it counted. You know, the two minute drill to send them to overtime.
We all knew they were going to go down the field and score.
Oh my god! I thought that too. Like I can't even lie. Like you don't want that guy to have the ball with 2 minutes left in the game. It's way too much time. Tom Brady is one of the best. Well, I think after this next Super Bowl, he's going to be considered the best quarterback to play the game of football because of what he's been able to do.
I think he's already there when it comes to quarterback.
Oh, man, I mean, the dude is
amazing. The football player thing to me is always a little bit weird because, like, you could say basketball player because, you know, guards are posting up. Like, guards, you're doing everything as a basketball player. When you say greatest football player of all time, I have a hard time putting a quarterback in there, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, it's a specific, he's the greatest winner of all time. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. But when it comes to football, like, I don't know, man. I feel like I need, I don't know. I feel like I need more of an athletic position.
No, I gotta take my hat off to Tom Brady, even though he's part of that cheating organization.
He was the one telling him to actually go in and footballs. That's what he was doing.
The toughness that he shows to lead his team, like he mixes it up. Like he's emotional. Like he's not no sheriff. He ain't no Peyton Manning that sits to the side and, you know, just argues with the ref. I'm like, he actually goes and like he wants some of the headbutt. He wants some of that. He wants some of that action. He wants to like make sure that, you know, he's fired up with the rest of the guys. And, you know, he wasn't drafted first overall. He didn't have this silver spoon put in his mouth like some of the other quarterbacks. He fought his. I mean, he proved himself on the field. And all of his success has been, to my account, due to his own hard work. Now, what you know, the film session and all that other stuff, I would say that helps the defense side of the ball more than offense. But, I give Tom Brady his credit as being the GOAT.
I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but CBS's open for the game was amazing. Like, was amazing. It was basically like what you just said. So it was like Patrick Mahomes' story of, like, having a professional father and then Brady in the combine, and he, like, works himself up to be the greatest quarterback of all time and how, like, Mahomes is kind of set to be the next great quarterback. It was really good if you haven't seen it.
You got
to
send me that. I like that. I would love to see that. Almost as much as I like the – I did like the Chiefs' social media showing all the kids and the dogs and all that, wishing that kind of – I got a bunch of kids, so that kind of –
That touched your heart.
That did, man.
You got more kids than Phillip Rivers.
Let me ask you this before we get out of here, because I think it's a good text from the Protein Out Seat with a Purpose text line. Tom Brady threw a game-ending pick yesterday. You know, it was a colossal mistake. This is from Joe in North Kansas City.
He's still the GOAT. Like, he threw a high ball to Gronk. He threw a high ball behind Edelman. Both of those end up being picked. When we talk about the GOAT, that's your whole career. Like, it's not you don't earn the GOAT status in one season or one throw or one game. And he has all the hardware and he has all the accolades to live up to that billing.
He threw a pick, but look how he rebounded from it. The way he played after he threw that pick.
Yeah, because the flag got thrown on because D Ford was lined up offside.
But, I mean, just the body of work that he put together after that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, and that's what Tom Brady does. But in a crucial moment, he threw an interception with a game on the line and a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, he's not perfect.
No, it's true.
Yeah, you know.
I just thought it was a really good point brought up by a texter.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good point. But in times like this, you want to see what makes these great players great. Yeah. You want to see why everybody say Tom Brady is this great quarterback. I don't think he's that great quarterback. But then you get a chance to see him put together drives. Like, okay. And you get to see him complete these third downs and march his team down the field in overtime to win the game. That's what makes him great.
That is our Monday morning linebacker. It's going to really sadden me that next week you guys will not be here.
I know.
Oh, this is it?
This is it.
I think it is.
I mean, you guys can come back for the Super Bowl if you want, but next week there's going to be.
I mean, if the Chiefs could get a stop on defense, you guys would be back next week. You know what I mean?
Actually, you wouldn't because we'd be in Atlanta.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So we wouldn't have any Monday morning. We'd be talking.
Y'all wouldn't plan on taking me and Joe, so nope. You know what? Bump y'all. Yep. Bump y'all, Jokers.
Uh-huh.
It is our Monday morning linebacker brought to you by the other plays, Joe Mays and Sean Barber. It was a pleasure and an honor to have you guys in this football season.
Great season, man. Great season.
Definitely, man. I really appreciate, you know, being on with you guys. Appreciate you guys having me.
It's fun.
I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, and we'll talk about Sean Barber's favorite person, Bob Sutton. It's the Hits.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.